Welcome to Behind the Mask, WNYO's podcast uncovering the latest updates on COVID-19 worldwide. I'm your host, Tomas Rodriguez. The opening episode for season 2 of Behind the Mask features Jay Holder, an Oswego alum who recently served as deputy venue media manager for the Olympic Stadium during the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. While the Olympics had previously been canceled 3 times during World War I and World War II, this marked the first time in history where the Olympics were postponed. But to learn more about what it was like to be part of this historic event, we are joined by Jay. Hello, Jay. Thank you for joining Behind the Mask for the first episode of the second season. How's everything going and where are you located at?
Thanks for having me. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, right now where I live, where I call home and have for the past almost 6 years. And things are going great.
And that's awesome to hear. Now, recently you were overseas, right? Where were you at and, what was that situation like?
Yeah, I just came back about 3 weeks ago from Tokyo, Japan, where I was serving as the deputy venue media manager of Olympic Stadium for the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games. And it was, to summarize in one or two sentences, it was an incredible experience, the experience of a lifetime. And I'm still really enjoying processing all of the things that I learned and saw over there. And it was awesome. It's just a great experience for an old track and field fan like myself to get to have.
Yeah. And what were your expectations going in, into a major event as the Olympics can be in traveling overseas during a pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of mixed feelings. When I first originally was hired for this role with the organizing committee, it was pre-pandemic, and I think I had very different expectations at that time. I expected a full stadium and flash bulbs and cheering crowds and all of those things that we associate with the Olympic Games. And as time went on, those expectations changed. And I'm not really sure I knew what to expect when the plane took off in June. I was there for 9 weeks. When the plane took off in June, I wasn't really sure what it was going to be like. And I would say that it was a lot more normal than I expected. I anticipated, no one on the streets in a quiet city and games that sort of lacked some of the excitement of games of the past. And it wasn't really like that at all. Tokyo was still, while operating safely, a bustling place with friendly, welcoming people who, while I know there were issues around whether the people of Japan wanted the games to be there, they remained as welcoming as they're known for as a culture and as a country. And then the performances on the track were just incredible. I mean, we saw, if you watched any of the track and field coverage of the Olympics, we saw incredible performances across disciplines, from the sprints to the jumps to the throws to the distance running. And it happened, in spite of the lack of fans and what some might think is perceived as energy in the stadium. I think that even though I think a lot of us expected great performances out of great athletes, the performances lived up to the hype and then some across the board.
Uh-huh. And when you entered the country, going through customs and all that, what was that process like, what kind of expectations did the locals have toward a responsible Olympics, and what role did the IOC and the communications folks play in that sense?
The process of entering the country was long and arduous and tedious, and exactly what you would want it to be if you were trying to go to some place and feel safe. Just the paperwork here in the States was a lot to get done. You had to go to the embassy. So I was going for 9 weeks, so it was long term. So I had to go to the consulate here and get all that paperwork filled out. When I arrived in Japan on June 9th, I went through about 2 hours of processing in the airport, which was PCR tests and checking the paperwork, checking the tests that I had done over here prior to coming over that were required. And once that was done, I was put in a van and taken directly to a hotel in Tokyo, where I stayed for 2 full weeks, 16 total days, but 14 of them full days. So not counting the day of my arrival and the day of my departure from quarantine. And in that hotel, I stayed in my room for the entire time, was not allowed to leave, was not allowed to interact with the other people in the hotel face-to-face who were also members of the Tokyo 2020 staff. We were tested frequently while we were there. Meals were delivered to our door. We couldn't go out to exercise, any of those things. It was a very strict quarantine. And I think that speaks to the precautions that were put in place by the organizers of the Olympics locally and internationally to ensure that these games were a safe games. I would say that beginning process, that quarantine at the beginning set the stage for what was a very tightly kept safety procedure throughout the duration of the games. The whole time I was over there, Tokyo, for the most part, was in a state of an emergency as cases continued to rise across the country and especially in the city. But it did feel like the safest place you could possibly go was an Olympic venue because of the level of testing that you knew everyone in that venue went through to get in and the number of precautions and mitigation efforts that were in place once you got inside the venue, from social distancing to plexiglass between participants to masks. I mean, masks were worn at all times. So I think it really speaks to how seriously the organizers locally and internationally took this. The other part of your question was about the reception and sort of the overall feeling in Japan. And I know here in the States, a lot of people were seeing the protest and the anger over the games, and that certainly existed. But we didn't see it as the level to which it was being covered here in the States didn't really match the level to which we were seeing it in Tokyo, especially in and around the venues. And I was at the marquee venue of the games, being Olympic Stadium. We certainly saw protests and there were certainly people who were angry. So I don't want to discount that, but there were just as many people who were really excited and felt a lot of pride about hosting the Olympics. Japanese people who lived in Tokyo, a number of our volunteers and colleagues lived in Tokyo and had spent years working on these games and really wanted to use them as an opportunity to provide a sense of normalcy, provide a sense of healing globally in a time where we really needed it. And so I think there was just as much of that happening as there were the people who were with good reason, understandably so, skeptical about the games.
And what was it like, you know, you are right before the athletes, right?
We arrived. So staff arrived, my level of staff arrived 9 weeks. I was there for 9 weeks. So 7 weeks before the games. Yeah.
And what was it like, you know, watching slowly but steadily all these athletes from all these different, you know, cultures, nations, you name it, coming to compete at a game setting and coming together as one, especially coming out of a pandemic or even during a pandemic? What was that like?
Yeah, I think knowing, you know, having gone through the process of entering the country and seeing how seriously it was taken, I think there was a sense of comfort in knowing that these people were going to go through the same process. And so therefore it sort of became inspiring because you knew that, you know, in a given year, athletes from around the world who qualify for the Olympics have to go through so much to get there. The training, the competition schedule, whatever hurdles and barriers they might face in their home country. But this year they faced even more hurdles to get to the games. And so to see athletes finally arriving a year after they thought they were going to live out this Olympic dream was inspiring. And I think we all felt by the time we had been there, you know, 6-7 weeks and the athletes were starting to arrive, we all felt a sense of comfort knowing how this was being handled and knowing that it was being handled in a way that was not haphazard and that was ensuring the highest level of safety. And we saw that. I mean, the number of positive tests that happened after the athletes arrived was a minuscule fraction of a percentage of the number of people there. And, you know, you're going to have that number in any large group of people. So, to sum it up, I think inspiring was, and relief and excitement was what I was feeling when the athletes finally started to get into the city.
Uh-huh. And what was it like, you know, being there in person for the opening and closing ceremonies? And what was that like versus maybe, you know, having watched it through a TV screen in the past?
You know, I wondered that myself going into the opening ceremonies. I since I worked in the stadium, I got to see a lot of rehearsals and knew what was coming. But, you know, I wondered, what is this going to be like without a crowd? And I thought it was pretty amazing that, I mean, it's a made for TV event anyways, but I thought it was pretty amazing how good of a job the producers and the directors of both ceremonies did in making sure that it was really focused on the television audience. So being able to watch it through that lens in the stadium and knowing that this must look really cool on TV, was pretty neat. But I also got to watch it I got to watch both the opening and closing ceremonies with the people I'd been working side by side with the entire time, and many of them people who lived in Tokyo and had spent the last 5 years of their life working on the Olympics. So being able to watch it with them and take in that experience with them was really special, because for them, this represented not the end of weeks and weeks worth of work, but the end of years and years worth of work. And you could just sort of feel the sense of relief and pride that they felt. And so both ceremonies were really special in their own way. One that, hey, this thing is finally getting underway, we're finally doing this. And then at the closing ceremonies, it was a chance to reflect back on all that had been accomplished.
Yeah, and what was that like, you know, serving as the link between the Olympics and those, you know, watching from outside, wanting to know more about the event? What was it like handling the communications aspect?
Yeah, I think so. My job was as deputy venue media manager was to really work with the various media outlets who were there to ensure that they had the resources that they needed to cover the games. And then I also did the press conference moderation for all the medalist press conferences. And I think, you know, the media is such an important part of any Olympic Games, any international sporting event, because most people aren't there and aren't seeing it in person. And so they are seeing it through the lens of really good reporters and really good photographers. And this year that was just more important because that's the only way anybody was seeing it. So it really felt like for all of us on the press operations team that our job was even more important than it would be in any other Olympics, because we were really ensuring that the people who were bringing these games to the world had the means to do so. So the gravity of the job and the importance of the job was never lost. And it was a really humbling thing to be part of.
And what was your main takeaway from this game's experience, and how did that change, if it did, how did it change your perspective toward the world?
My main takeaway was that we needed these Olympics, that the Olympics are always going to be something that goes on. And, you know, there's always going to be something that people question about a games leading up to them. And there's always going to be the negative PR leading into the games, no matter where they are. But the competition and the heart and drive and camaraderie of the athletes always wins out as the top story. And it always inspires people at the time where they really need it. And I felt that really, especially in these games, like the level of competition at the Olympics is always a cut above anything else, but it felt like, and maybe it's just because of the situation we're living in, but it really felt like the amount of heart and companionship. And as I said, camaraderie, as I say it again, that was present in these games exceeded games that I can recall in the past. So I think that was my top takeaway. I changed my perception on the world. I mean, I had never been to Japan before. So this is my first experience over there. And it really made me realize how welcoming and kind and and organized of a country and a culture as it is. I learned a lot about Japan. I was over there. I wish I had learned more of the language, to be honest. But just being able to learn about a country and a culture that's so different than ours here in the States was an awesome learning experience.
Yeah, and you know, what does it mean for you, you know, to represent Oswego in this sense? And what is the skill that Oswego taught you that really helped you strive under that set of circumstances?
Oswego taught me everything. I thought a lot about SUNY Oswego when I was over there, because I always have been so proud to represent the school and to be an alumni of the school and to show people that SUNY Oswego really does prepare you to do anything anywhere in the world in the area of broadcast journalism and communications. And to be over there and to turn on my stream on my VPN and see Al Roker on the other side of the city. And I don't know Al other than, you know, sharing a couple of tweets here and there, but that was a really cool thing. I think the best thing that SUNY Oswego taught me or prepared me here for a role like this was just to ask questions and to know when to ask questions and to know what kind of questions to ask and to start teaching that from the second I walked in the door my freshman year. A lot of schools that you go to, you've got to really wait to get behind a microphone and to get that firsthand experience of reporting and interviewing, because you've got to wait until the upperclassmen move on and you become an upperclassman. At Oswego, at least when I was there, and I'm sure it's still the way it is, you start learning the second you walk in the door. You get 4 solid years of hands-on experience. And that, I think, it's really shaped my entire career, from producing television in Syracuse to working in PR and communications now. Just it feels like it gave me sort of a running start on the real world. And I have always, you know, everywhere I've gone, thought about Oswego in that regard. And I'm just always so grateful that that's where I went and that's where I learned, because I think, it's just maybe it's given me that much more experience.
Yeah. And this sounds like a very interesting experience and unique, really, to be a part of this, you know, during a health crisis, in a historical event, really, in a way. So I really appreciate you taking the time to answer my questions and help the Oswego community understand really what it was like to be on the other side of a major event as the Olympics can be. So thank you for joining.
Thanks so much for having me. And any chance I have to talk about SUNY Oswego, I'd love to take it. So thanks. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. You have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.